Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we always try to cut through the noise and get you informed fast. And today, we're doing a deep dive into something pretty interesting in the world of, well, global mobility and investment, Turkish citizenship by investment. Yeah, our mission today is really to pull out the key insights, especially with these new 2025 updates we're seeing. And maybe give you a couple of surprising facts and some practical takeaways, like why these new procedures might actually make the program more attractive for serious investors, believe it or not.
That's right. And understanding these kinds of programs, Turkey's in particular, is, well, it's really valuable right now. Because even though the core investment thresholds, you know, the dollar figures, might not have changed,
right,
the how of the process, the procedural side, that's seen some pretty significant shifts in 2025. So yeah, this deep dive is essential for clarity, making sure you understand not just the what, but the why these changes matter for the program's long-term credibility.
Okay, let's unpack this then. The headline fact seems clear. Turkish citizenship by investment is still a, well, a highly attractive path to a second passport in 2025. And it definitely allows dual nationality, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Dual nationality is permitted.
So what hasn't changed? And where do these 2025 updates really make a difference? Maybe in ways we didn't quite expect. The minimum real estate investment, that's still $400,000. That's key.
Still $400,000, correct.
But there are other ways too, right? Like a $500,000 bank deposit or government bond.
Yes, exactly. $500 in a bank or bonds or even a venture capital fund investment or a REIT, you know, a real estate investment trust. And for the entrepreneurs out there, creating 50 jobs for Turkish nationals is another route.
Okay, so the what is stable. Now the how, you mentioned procedural changes.
Yes, and this is where it gets really interesting for 2025. The due diligence, the background checks, they've intensified dramatically. It's moved beyond just standard local checks. Now they include Interpol screenings and FATF compliance checks. Wow. FATF, the Financial Action Task Force. That sounds like a big step up.
It is. It's a huge step towards global consistency,
right,
really aligning with international anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing standards. It adds a layer of seriousness.
Yeah.
And documentation requirements are stricter, too.
How so?
Well, foreign documents used to be, let's say, optionally transcribed sometimes. Now they must be translated and notarized. And even the notary part has been tightened. It's now a same-day mandatory function, which actually streamlines things a bit, counterintuitively.
Okay.
Plus, they've launched a new online application reference portal. This replaces the older sort of manual tracking methods, much clearer now. All these updates, really, they're designed to boost transparency and, frankly, inhibit abuse.
Which I guess enhances the long-term value for people who are legitimate investors.
Precisely. It shores up the program's credibility. It means the citizenship you gain is seen as more secure and reputable. It's a better quality asset, if you will.
That makes sense. Does this extra stringency, though, does it risk putting off genuine applicants, making it too complex? Or does it mainly just weed out the problematic ones?
Good question. From what we're seeing, it's mostly the latter. Yes, there's more upfront work with documentation, but for compliant individuals, the process, especially with the online portal, can actually feel more predictable, maybe even faster once everything's submitted correctly, fewer bottlenecks.
Okay. So someone's chosen their investment route. They're ready to tackle the new document rules.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through the simplified steps from there.
Sure. So first, obviously, choose and make the investment. Then step two is getting a certificate of eligibility. This basically confirms your investment meets the program's criteria.
Got it. The official thumbs up on the money part.
Exactly. After that, you need to secure a short-term residence permit. That's a mandatory step before the citizenship application itself. And finally, you prepare and submit the full citizenship application with all those carefully translated, notarized documents we talked about. It's a clear sequence.
Right. A clear path. And assuming success, what are the actual payoffs, the tangible benefits for the investor?
Mm-hmm.
Beyond just having the citizenship, what do these changes signal maybe about Turkey's long-term view?
Ah, the benefits are quite compelling. Looking at the big picture, Turkish citizenship gives you incredible global mobility. We're talking visa-free or visa-on-arrival access to over 110 countries.
That's significant.
Definitely. Plus, you get full citizen rights inside Turkey, access to healthcare, education, the works, and crucially for many, it qualifies you for the U.S. E2 investor visa.
Explain that a little.
It's a non-immigrant visa. If Turkey has a treaty with the U.S., which it does, its citizens can potentially live and work in the U.S. by making a substantial business investment there. It's a very popular pathway. And another major practical point, there's no minimum stay required in Turkey to keep your citizenship once you have it. That offers a lot of flexibility.
Okay, that's a lot of really crucial info, especially layering in those 2025 updates. It seems the takeaway is, while the investment levels are stable, the process has definitely been tightened up, made clearer, more transparent, which ultimately sounds like it boosts the program's integrity. So for anyone considering this, navigating it smoothly and legally, working with an experienced Turkish lawyer who specializes in this seems pretty advisable.
Highly advisable, yes. It's complex territory now. And maybe this leaves you, the listener, with a thought. As global mobility gets more complex everywhere, how might diversifying your citizenship options offer not just those practical things like travel or visas, but maybe open up new avenues for personal growth, for professional opportunities? Something to consider, perhaps, as you think about your own strategic choices in this changing world.